Proverbs 24:23. These also are sayings of the wise. Partiality in judging is not good. Whoever says to the wicked, "You are in the right," will be cursed by peoples and abhorred by nations. But those who rebuke the wicked will have delight, and a good blessing will come upon them. Whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, build your house. Be not a witness against your neighbor without cause, and do not deceive with your lips. Do not say, "I will do to him as he has done to me. I will pay the man back for what he has done." I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man.
Good morning. The Lord bless you all this fine day for Costa Rica. This is a fine, normal day. In fact, we do ask that you pray for Costa Rica. In fact, we have been receiving much more rainfall than normal, mostly due to Hurricane Nate when it formed pretty much off the coast of Costa Rica. And it was just last week, the whole country is flooded out. Think of Houston, but a third of the country instead of just maybe a 10% of Texas. So Costa Rica has been suffering a lot from the weather lately. We have three active volcanoes, two of which are spewing up ash, one is spewing up fire and rock. So, and the earth keeps trembling all the time, which we praise the Lord for, because if it trembles all the time, we have short ones and the plates are moving very slowly. So, but we have one big one, it means the plate just all of a sudden moved. So we praise God for His grace, for His protection. And just ask for your prayers concerning this time of year. Is rainy season anyway. October, we usually are calling on God to give us a spirit of Noah or something. But this year is just particularly worse than normal as far as the amount of rainfall. And so praise God for His grace. And this morning, God has laid it on our hearts to speak to you concerning the renewal that God brings to the lives of His children. And it's something that we know is true, and we see it often, especially in the prison ministry, of these hardened criminals, these rapists and murderers who are there, and we can actually see the rebirth and the renewal, and it's just like a blessing that just explodes in front of you. But oftentimes, those of us who have walked with Christ for a long time and have suffered through many things, it's difficult for us to see that every day is a new blessing and that we have renewal in Christ every day. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we don't see it. Sometimes, well, we do, and we praise God for it. But I have two verses or two passages of Scripture I would like to share this morning. And the first one is from Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and we will be reading from verse 1 through verse 21. It's quite a bit, but that's why we're in the house of the Lord, to study His Word. So, Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 21, and I'm used to preaching in Spanish, so if something goes wrong, forgive me if I mispronounce a word or start speaking in Spanish, please. Please warn me. Okay. The Lord's Word says, "But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed you. Yes, I have made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes, and let the deaf who have and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses, that they may be justified. Or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the days was, I am He. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reserve it? Who will reverse it? Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake, I will send to Babylon and bring them all down as fugitives. The Chaldeans who rejoice in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes the way in the sea and the path through the mighty waters? Who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power? They shall lie down together. They shall not rise. They are extinguished. They are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts in the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to drink, to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this passage. Thank you for the hope that it gives. We thank you that you are doing a new thing, and you have done a new thing in the lives of each and every one of us. And continue pouring out your blessing, your grace upon us. Through the wilderness, though we may walk, and through the waters we may be, and though the fire may be close, but Father, you are with us. Continuing to not only protect us, but continuing to renew us and guide us and walk with us. And we praise you for that. Now, Father, we ask that you bless this message. May it be your word that we hear and understand, that you apply to our hearts and our minds, that we may walk according to it. And we praise you, Father, for all you do. May you be glorified in all we say and do in this day. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I'm going to turn our attention to Ecclesiastes, and we're going to read Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 9. And King Solomon wrote something that on the surface seems to be a little different from what we read from Isaiah, but with one great difference. So let us read Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 9, and it says, amen. In prison, I wait for the people to get their Bibles open. It takes them a little longer to do because they didn't grow up in church, so it's hard for them to find where the books are. So, okay, Ecclesiastes 1, 4 through 9. One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full, to the place from which the rivers come, where they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. So apparently we think, oh, what's the difference here? The difference is a great difference. Solomon is speaking in the realm of the natural world. The things that God created has set into motion and going into action, these things will not change. Just as God is a God forever and He will not change. But the thing that Isaiah is talking about is the things that God will do in the lives of His children. And the things that He has done in the lives of His children. Therefore, He's speaking more in the spiritual realm of everything. Therefore, what we are, we have become because of God has renewed us to be. In other words, we read that we are a new creature in Christ. And we read many things about how God renews us from the inside out. How it's more important the things of heaven to keep our eyes focused on Him than the things of this world. Because the things of this world will not, cannot, and will not ever have the ability to change anything about us. However, we need redeeming grace in which only God can give, and only He can give that renewal that we need to be before God in heaven someday. So, this reminds me of a story. It could be a small town anywhere in Alabama. Speaking about a century ago, around 1915 or so. And there's this young couple, Chester and Claire. They may be older teens probably, just recently married. And neither one of them had a formal education. They were illiterate, could not read or write. So Chester survived, you know, doing chores on the farm, working, hiring himself out as a farmhand or mechanics on tractors or well, that time, who knows what. But anyway, he was a farmhand. And Claire, she had a gift of sewing, and she would sew and she would sell her products as best she could. And they lived out in the middle of the woods in a small cabin. But they were born-again Christians, recently born again. And they decided to go to the church where the richest people in town went. And they received them pretty well, even though they were poor and illiterate and hardworking people. But the church received them well. They treated them well. They often gave to them things that they may need. But one day, the men in the Sunday school class decided, we're all going to wear white shirts in our Sunday school class. And, of course, Chester, he started feeling out of place, a bit rejected, because he could not afford a new white shirt. So Claire asked him about why he was feeling down every time he'd come out of Sunday school class, every time he would go home. And he said, well, the men decided to wear white shirts, and I can't afford one. So Claire took out some white cloth that she had been saving for something else to make, for someone who hired her to make something else out of this white cloth, and made Chester a really nice, beautiful white shirt. So the next Sunday he went to Sunday school class all with a smile on his face, but no sooner than the class began and it was over, he was still feeling kind of out of place. And Claire asked him, but what's the matter? What's wrong with the shirt? No, the shirt's great. But all the other men's shirts have this little emblem on the pocket. And mine doesn't have anything on the pocket. And I can tell that their shirt is from this really great name or something. So as I was walking home one day, Claire was thinking about this, and I was walking by a storefront window, and it had this sign in there, even though the store was empty and all this, but it had this sign on it, and she couldn't read it, but God caught her attention, that little sign, so as best she could, she copied the three words off of that sign. And she took that white shirt and sewed those three words as best she could on the shirt pocket. And the next Sunday as they go to church, Chester was just in heaven. He was just smiling from ear to ear. And Claire said, well, what happened? Well, that thing you embroidered on my shirt, that emblem of those words, caused every one of those men in that Sunday school class to ask me for forgiveness. Those three words said, that's how every Christian should live. And we're not living according to those three words. And you reminded us of that. And now they accept me. They said they accept me, and I feel like part of the family of the church that God has given us. So what were those three words? I'm not going to tell you yet. We're going to wait a little bit. But the thing is, Jesus does something new in the lives of his children in ways that sometimes we're not looking for. Jesus gives and renews the life of every one of his children. God wants to do something new in your life today. He wants to do something new in your life tomorrow. Each and every day, we should pray to the Lord, seek him, and ask him, God, what is it? What is that new thing you want to do in me? It could be that one little sin that keeps nagging at me. Take that away from me. Free me from that. That one new thing would be great news. Well, that joy that I'm really seeking, I know you give, Lord. I need that new and renewed in me today. And there's a list of things that our God, our creative God, not only our creator God, but our creative God does for us. And the New Testament is filled with the new things that he does for us. Salvation is through a new and better covenant, according to the book of Hebrews, based on better promises. We have new life in Jesus Christ. We have a new beginning. We have a new birth. We're given a new heart. All of this according to the New Testament. We have a new family in the name of Christ. We're given a new name. We become new creatures. We sing new praises born out of a heart that is grateful. We're given a new commandment to love one another. We're giving new health, both spiritually and physically. We have new freedom. We are no longer slaves to our sins. We have new provisions when we seek his kingdom and his righteousness. All the rest will be given to us. We have new faith based on better promises. It's part of the fruit of the Spirit. We have new power and authority to proclaim the virtues of God. And these are only a list of a few things that we can read from the New Testament of the things that God renews in us each and every day. Isaiah, back to Isaiah 43:1, speaks about our new identity, for example. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you, I have called you by your name, you are mine. In the natural world, and where we live, in the physical world, people try to identify themselves by many things. Just like in this church, in this really small town, all these rich folks going there, they try to identify them by the amount of money they have, and their riches, their economic power. A lot of people also tie their identity into their work. We are what we do, oftentimes. The first thing that we greet one another, and what do you do, and what do we want to do? We want to know about them, so their identity lies in their work often, or their social status. Or people tie their identity into their friends. What friends I have, tell me who you walk with, I'll tell you who you are. And so we tie our identity in many things, but the children of God, we tie our identity into Jesus. Because it is he who has redeemed us. It is he who has bought us with a price. He has bought us by his own precious blood. That which was his that we went astray, he bought us back again. Then we are his because he has redeemed us. We belong to him. We have no longer have any say in our own lives because we are his. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what was the cost of this redemption? For we were slaves in our sins. He bought us with His own blood on the cross of Calvary. We receive a new identity in Christ because He bought us and we are His. Because we're forgiven. We are accepted into the family of God. This happens because we confess and we repent of our sins. But oftentimes we do nothing more than confess them. But to truly repent of them, repentance is more than a regret. How many men do we see in prison who regret the things they have done? Just recently, we just had this fellow who after he got through preaching in prison, he was just crying and crying. He went to him and said, God can't forgive me. Yes, He can. But I feel so bad for what I did. Well, don't even tell me what you did. Forgive yourself and let God renew you. And it wasn't 3 weeks later he was being baptized. And he did learn to forgive himself, and he did learn to let God renew him. And he was taking his baby steps, growing in his faith. And it wound up being, he was on the news a lot. He murdered policemen. Hijack trucks, freight trucks, coming through the country from Panama to Nicaragua. He will hijack them, oftentimes murder the drivers who steal their goods. And he got into a shootout with the policeman, killed a policeman. He did some really, really bad things. Really evil in our eyes. But once born again, he became a child of God. And God is renewing his life. He may spend the rest of it in prison, but God is renewing him there. So repentance is more than just a regret for the things we've done. A change of thought, a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction in which we're walking, which we're going. And for the born again Christian, it's also having a contrite heart, continually humbling ourselves before the Lord, knowing that it is for our sins, for my sins, that Christ died on that cross. Continually reminding ourselves that we owe everything to Him, that we are His. So when we believe in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, it's not that we start being a good person. For there's no one good. Only God is good. But what happens is that we begin to live. We truly begin to live. We're given a new life. We're born again. And we believe and we acquire, we receive a new hope. And a new life. 1 Peter 1:3 puts it like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Our identity comes from God. We belong to Christ. Thus the name that we are given, we call ourselves Christians. But I may ask, many people use that name Christian just as a way to say what faith we belong to. And throughout the world, when they talk about Christians, people have many ideas of what Christian is. But if we're truly living out the faith that God has given us, we're walking with Christ, if we are allowing Him to renew us, then yes, we can say that we are Christians. It is better to have Christ in us and truly live the faith that we say that we have than it is to just say we are Christians to say what our faith or what our religion is. So what fruit are we bearing? What fruit are you bearing that gives evidence that Jesus is renewing you, that God is renewing you every day? Back to Isaiah 43, verse 2, speaks about our new companion. We have a new companion. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor the flame scorch you. Within the family of God, within the church, we will find our new identity. We will find counsel. We will find encouragement. We will find a lot of things that we need because we know that we belong to God, we belong to the church, we have a new family, and we will find comfort, counsel, many things that we need in that church. But on the other hand, when we live in obedience to Christ, when we bear His name, we'll often find ourselves alone through the trials in which we walk. Oftentimes we will feel alone and lonely. Some of these trials may come from the opposition of the devil, especially when we're doing His work in the places that God sends us. Oftentimes this opposition comes from our own lack of willingness to obey Him. Oftentimes just life will bring trials upon us. Just the things that God allows to happen to us, around us, about us. Many things may happen. The trials of life may come in many ways. However, we have God who walks with us. Our new companion who is with us always. Even though that we are in the fire, He will not allow that flame to burn us. Even though that we are in the waters that just overwhelming us, He will not allow us to drown in them. He will not allow us to drown in what's going through, what we're going through. So I encourage each and every one of us to maintain a contrite heart. To know that God is in control. To be content with what God has provided for us. And be happy to know that the joy of the Lord is with us. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So knowing that, and knowing back to our verse in Isaiah 43:10-12 speaks of our new mission. Knowing that God is walking with us, knowing that God is with us, knowing that He will bear our burdens with us. He says, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved. I have proclaimed. And there was no foreign God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Therefore, our new mission is first to know God. It is to be that new person that He requires us to be. That is our first and foremost mission in this life, to know God. First and foremost mission in this life, to know God and to be that person that God wants us to be. But it is also to proclaim Him to the world. Therefore, it is to do everything that He has commanded us to do with loyalty and gladness and joy. So the mission that we are given from this verse in Isaiah that God has given us is to be that person that God requires us to be, to know God. And it's to fulfill everything that He has given us to do. And so it is to do. It is to proclaim Him to the world. And Jesus has warned us that knowing Jesus, that knowing Him and being like Him, that the world will give us opposition. And that many things will come against us. He has warned us that as we walk in obedience to Him, being that person that He wants us to be and doing that mission which He has given us to be, which is to proclaim Him to the world, that the world, that Satan, that many things will come into our opposition. Matthew 10:24-25 says, Jesus speaking, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master. If they have called the master
of the house, Beelzebub, how much more will they call those of his household? So what comes our way, we continue walking with Christ. What comes our way, we continue knowing God. What comes our way, we continue obeying and doing what he has called us to do. So we are to know God, and in the process, we're to help others know God as well. Jesus promised his disciples before he ascended into heaven that the Holy Spirit would come upon them and give them power and empower them to be his witnesses. And therefore, we can read throughout the book of Acts all that God gave them power to do. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And as we read the book of Acts, we see that they fulfilled this. As we read the epistles of Paul and Peter and John and many others, we know that they fulfilled this. But God is still fulfilling this mission today, and it is our responsibility. God wanted, God expected, God demanded of Israel, his chosen people of the Old Testament, to be his witnesses. The same is true for us, his chosen people today, his church. He wants us, he expects us, he demands us to be his witnesses throughout all the earth. Isaiah 43:18-21 speaks about our new future. It says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and the ostrich, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise." These words that God gave through Isaiah, we are living this prophecy today. We are God's chosen people. We are that holy nation. It is for us that he made that road through the wilderness and rivers in the desert, for he himself is that road. He himself is the water of life. And therefore, we can, as 1 Peter 2:9-10 says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. So then that glorious future of the Lord is for us." Our past is our past. It is what God has allowed us to live, is what has given us. God has forgiven all of our sins. He has set us forth. He is seeing us through the fires. He is seeing us through the troubled times. And through that, somehow or another, he gives us joy. He fulfills us with himself. With faith and by faith we shall see God face to face. We shall praise him forever. We shall be before his throne in heaven. And for all times, praise him. We've been given a promise of a new future, a new home, a new life. 2 Peter 3:13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells." And Jesus revealed to the apostle John on the island of Patmos, Revelation 21:3-5. "And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write these words, for they are true and faithful." my brothers and sister, who's in charge of your life? We all live under authority. When we're children growing up, we praise God for the authority that He gave us through our parents. But as we grow up and we are grown, we still live under authority, under the laws of the nation, under the rulers He's given us, speaking of this earth. But who is the authority of your life? It can be oneself. It can be even the devil. But it must be God, who is indeed our real and true, all-powerful authority. So this brings me back to the beginning. What were those three words that Miss Claire, as best she could, copied from that window, embroidered on her husband's shirt pocket, that so affected the other men in that Sunday school class, that made them repent, that made them ask Him for forgiveness, that made them realize what being a Christian is all about? And those three words were in front of a restaurant window. It said, under new management. Under new management. And that's how we shall live, must live, as we walk with Christ. So let us remember that list of things, that list of blessings that God makes new for us every day. Salvation through a new and better covenant in Christ. We have new life. We have a new beginning, a new birth. We are given a new heart. We have a new family. We're given a new name. We become new creatures. We sing new praises born out of a grateful heart. We're given a new commandment to love one another. We're given new health, spiritually and physically. We have new freedom. We have new provisions. We have new faith. And we have new power and authority to proclaim the virtues of God. So let us live under new management. Let us pray. Father, we thank You so much for Your goodness, Your grace, and for things You're doing in the lives of each and every one of us, that You are with us at all times, that You walk with us, and that we have a new and glorious future in Jesus Christ that we're all looking forward to. And we thank You, Father, for the new things that You're doing with us and in us each and every day also. And we praise You for all that You do always, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Can you take a few minutes and just kind of tell us what's been going on down in Costa Rica and the ministry?
Certainly. Yeah, forgive me. God laid this word on my heart to share. I mean, I had to do that. But Marielos and I are involved in several ministries. And the one ministry we've been doing probably half our lives in Costa Rica is men's prison, where we go in and we make disciples of Christ. They allow us to go into the cell block and have a discipleship session. So I would be teaching the word, and my dads would be giving counseling to the men at that time. And we have been giving the cell block. It's called the B3 cell block, which is where they send what they consider the hardened criminals, the very tough, mean people. And we have seen God do great things in there. Right now, we have a problem in which the hachulo, which would be the in-your-face guy, is what that word means, hachulo, the in-your-face guy, which is the lead prisoner in that cell block. So what this prisoner says, everybody else in that cell block has to obey. It's kind of like he's the in-your-face guy. And he's usually part of a drug cartel member, because that's one of the major problems in the country. And you can identify him because you can just tell the person in charge. And the one that we have in the B3 cell block is telling the believers in the cell block that they can't be believers. They're very... can't speak English. They are against the Christians. They're against us coming in. And so a lot of the men are fearful of what they can, what could happen to them. But we still have a faithful 20-something men that are coming now. And they're still coming out, no matter if they are what they call están arrollados por ellos, if they're being persecuted. And if they're, they will, what they do at night, they will wrap them up in their sheets and they will beat them. Sometimes we had one guy, they shaved all his facial hair off, everything from his head up, and also his eyebrows and his eyelids and everything. You know, so they just do mean things to the men who are giving their lives to Christ. But yet they are faithful and are still walking with God. We had the privilege of baptizing something like, I forgot the number, 72 men. Not all from our cell block, but from other cell blocks as well recently. So that was a great privilege. We have two children's feeding programs, one in a community, a slum called Rio Azul, which is on the south side of the city, about a 20-minute drive from where we live. But as you go up the mountain, you can see this, the demographic change completely. And the major problem there is the mudslides and the rains, from the rains that we're having. Just the week, the Saturday before we came up, we walked up to one lady's house who was already sliding down, so we had to evacuate her and try to get her some help. And then, but we're feeding still around 60, 70 children per week, twice a week there. And we're trying to work, and the church has stepped up a lot that we work out of. And right now we're wanting to add on to that church a daycare center for the ladies to carry their children so that they can go and find work. This community is made up of mostly single mothers with 3, 4, 5 children from 3, 4, 5 fathers. So when... But they are coming to the Lord, and they are becoming Christians, and God is renewing their lives. And we've been doing that for, 8 years now. And recently, in another community called Purral, through another small church, God laid upon our hearts that to open a bakery there. We had tried to open this bakery in Rio Azul, but the ladies just did not want to do it. And we went, and we taught them how to bake the bread. Well, Mariela, I didn't. I just watched. But Mariela is a fine baker. And so she taught them how to bake all types of different types of breads that people like in the country and they buy. But the ladies just could not keep up with it. But God led us to a place in another slum in Purral. And this is one of the worst slums in the city. It's where there are two rival drug gangs fighting over the area and fighting over the control of the country. And they have places like we have to go through. They call this is the slaughterhouse. There's police. That's where they carry people to murder them. They're where the paid assassins carry them to murder them. And other places where they say, you know, if you're not part of that neighborhood, it's better not to go in because you probably won't get out because somebody's going to mug you. We had this one while we're setting up the bakery there. This 11-year-old boy was learning to bake bread, and he learned to bake bread with his mother and everything else. And then it wasn't after the bakery was running and we were no longer teaching him how to bake bread, we went up there and said, my son has joined the gang. And he was 12 by this time, and he's already holding up people, mugging people. And there's this little convenience store just across this church, and he held up that little convenience store. So everybody in the community knows who he is. And so we're constantly faced with those type of issues. But the youth that remained in that church are now stepping up, as well as the mother, and being light in that community. They are living out their faith. They're afraid of going to what that other young man went to. And so if that his mistake serves for others to see his mistake and remain with Christ, then may God forgive that fellow and bring him back as well. But this last August, when we were up there, it's Mother's Day in August, and they had a really huge church service, well, really special church service. And it was the teens and the younger children who were in charge of that. And it was a blessing to see that just by setting up a bakery that God is causing that church to grow spiritually. And so each week, you know, they're feeding them three times a week now through the resources that that bakery allows them to have, plus other resources that we give them as well. We have a ministry in nursing home where it's just elderly people. We go in and teach the gospel to. And most of these men and women growing up in a Roman Catholic environment. So when they hear the true word of the gospel, not just the tradition of a church, then, you know, oftentimes in their later age, truly know God and not just about God. And we have a home Bible study in which we've been doing for, 10 years now? And just recently we opened 6 new Bible studies, home Bible studies, through the ministry of our local church where we live. We presented this. We are part of the eldership of the church, so we presented this at one of the meetings one day, and everybody got on board and said, yeah, we can find someone to host. We can find teachers. And it all just came together, and so we have 6 new Bible studies that we are coordinating through our local church also. And it's just, God is just blessing that ministry tremendously. And we do a lot of counseling, mostly couples and younger folks that we do counseling. And if that weren't enough, then I don't know what is. But God has us doing that. And we praise God and we do it with joy. And, we have house guests in our home as well. This year we've had, 2 couples and a single guy. Olivia. Olivia is a Mexican national. Olivia is the wife of one of the guys that we disciple in prison. Edwin, the Mexican guy, was caught, trafficking drug money. So he's taking it out of Mexico and bringing it to Costa Rica to launder the money in Costa Rica. And he brought, dozens of thousands, what was it, about $60,000 or something on him, which, you know, if you don't claim that, then that's a crime in itself. But then when they know what it's for, then it's more of a crime. So Edwin is looking at several years in prison. So Olivia came down to be close to her husband. Edwin became a Christian and is walking closely with the Lord, became even part of our in-cell block group leader for our group there in the prison, and then he was moved on to the maximum security prison. And so Olivia came down to Costa Rica, and she was there to be close to him, but Edwin's brother was financing her because Edwin's brother got them into the money laundering business. But when he found out that Edwin's a Christian, said, I am no longer going to help you, no longer do anything criminal, and God has changed my life, then his brother cut them off altogether financially. So Olivia's in the country, has no money coming to her. She has to leave every 3 months so that she's not in the country illegally and come back. And so she would go to Nicaragua for a day and then come back. But she has no income. And just what odd job she can find, and because legally she really can't work until she becomes a resident, legal resident, get her green card. So since they have no income, no money, we have her in our house now. We invited her to live with us, so we're taking care of her room and board for the time that Edwin is in prison, which we're hoping he will be released on parole in March or so. So he will have a permanent address with us for 3 months, and after 3 months, they are allowed to find other permanent residents. And then we don't know how much his parole time will be, but we're hoping no more than a couple of years, and they'll be able to go back to Mexico. And so that's something to keep in your prayer as well. And just pray that the Sinaloa cartel doesn't come looking for them at our house, which they may. You never know. But, you know, we're walking by faith and trusting God for his protection. And welcome to our house anytime. We'll be glad to receive you also.